Hi, welcome to Idea Monger. This is Andrew Dietz. Idea Monger is a podcast about uncovering innovation in uncommon places. It's about people who identify the non-obvious and make things happen from that. About people who see things differently, who look different. Steve Jobs just looked different, didn't he? Now, I don't mean Steve Jobs looked different in the judging a book by its cover, shallow appearances kind of way. Although, Jobs did wear an unusual amount of black clothing, and I'm not sure what was up with the ever-present turtleneck, but I digress. Steve Jobs lived by the motto, think different. But it was how he observed the world that let him stumble over the same things as others, while seeing something completely different than the rest of us. Jobs opened his senses to the world in a way that permitted attentive, original perspective. He looked different. Disruptive innovators seem to be seers, possessed of an apparently supernatural vision. They see through obstacles and around corners and into the future that is obscure for the rest of us. Maybe, though, the Oracle of Delphi thing isn't quite so mystical, not so out of reach for us mere mortals. Maybe we, too, can look as different as Steve Jobs. But before we go on, let me ask you something. Did you ever see the video of a bunch of people in an office outside an elevator bank kind of throwing a basketball around back and forth, and in the midst of that, a guy dressed in a gorilla suit dances by? You probably saw the gorilla. I didn't see any damn gorilla. Like 50% of those who watched that video, I was so focused on people passing basketballs that I completely missed the man in the ape costume. The gorilla test is the brainchild of Christopher Chabris and Daniel Simons, who cataloged a profusion of perceptual foibles in their 2011 book, The Invisible Gorilla. So if the unseen gorilla exposes our observational kryptonite, Jim Gilmore's new book, Look, A Practical Guide for Improving Your Observational Skills, provides the antidote. Jim Gilmore is a looker. Again, no, I don't mean looker in the Urban Dictionary sense of the word, where they define looker as a, quote, attractive person. For example, Marie was quite a looker before the sausage mill incident. It's not that Jim Gilmore isn't a lovely enough looking fellow, but I'd rather leave that for others to judge. By looker, I mean this is a man who knows how to really look at things. Gilmore's well-honed talents of perception have resulted in bestsellers like The Experience Economy, in which, along with his business partner Joe Pine, they identified the shift from companies selling products, like a can of coffee beans, and from products to services, like a cup of coffee ordered at a Waffle House, and from services to companies staging experiences, like Starbucks. Gilmore is such a looker that his looking goes beyond ordinary bounds. He said to me, "My family tires of my incessant observations about what's happening around us at any moment. I'm cursed with an insatiable appetite to observe and analyze. Cursed, I tell you." Jim Gilmore is a lateral looker. Lateral thinking was a term first articulated by Dr. Edward de Bono in 1967, and it refers to a set of creative problem-solving processes and tools that help break conditioned thought habits, our set way of thinking, and provoke new patterns and pathways that lead to fresh ideas. An acolyte of Edward de Bono, Gilmore has embraced two major lessons from de Bono in his book, Look. The first is how to think differently so that you can produce radically better actions and results. Gilmore acknowledges that lateral thinking must precede first and fruitful action. But with Look, he adds enhanced observation skills as an essential predecessor to productive lateral thinking. Step one, enhance observation skills. The second de Bono component that shines through in Jim's book, Look, is the lateral lateral thinking as a practical, learnable skill when supported with the right repeatable tools. De Bono is well known for building practical systems for applying his ideas that are based on metaphor. For example, the Six Thinking Hats, one of my favorites. It's a metaphor in which different modes of thought are represented by different colored hats. You and your colleagues agree to take off or put on different hats, that is, adopt different mindsets. Optimistic, pessimistic, generative, fact-based. Each hat represents a different kind of mindset. And you put those on or take those off in parallel as you sort through a challenge together. De Bono's six action shoes is another method he has. It's a method or framework for taking action grounded in the idea that there are six different styles of action we might take to bring an idea to life. The shoes represent those styles and, like the hats, can be donned or doffed depending on the problem-solving terrain you're traversing. De Bono created hats for thinking and shoes for acting, but Gilmore observed one tool set that was missing, the one for observation. He said, "My goal was to distill observation and boil it down to a set of very practical tools." So he invented six looking glasses that are the heart of the lookbook. Reminds me of the old joke. Optician says, "You need glasses." The patient says, "But I'm wearing glasses." The optician says, "Well, then I need glasses." Jim Gilmore's looking glasses. Optometrists exist because sometimes our eyes don't work as well as they should or we wish they would. Optometrists prescribe glasses or contacts, and the right lenses can change our viewpoint. They can change our mindset, too. Here are the six lenses or looking glasses that Jim Gilmore recommends we keep in our innovation field bag. First, binoculars. Binoculars let you see a whole lot at a distance. With a binoculars mindset, you can explore the forest, not just the trees. Scan the scene, Gilmore writes in his book. Survey everything to see the options for further exploration. Binoculars. Bifocals. Ben Franklin's inventions are one lens with two distinct focusing powers. For instance, look through the bottom of the lens for reading, look straight ahead for moderate distance. In Gilmore's metaphor, putting on your bifocal glasses means examining contrasting ideas or opposite items in close proximity. It's this type of observation that can help overcome bias by recognizing other viewpoints. Magnifying glass. When it's time to deeply investigate something, to scrutinize a particular aspect of a situation or a thing, especially the main point, bring out your magnifying glass. Microscope. Sometimes you've got to take your time and zoom in on all the little details. That is where the devil hangs out, after all. Pull out the microscope for looking when you need to make sure that all the niggling elements are uncovered. Rose-colored glasses. Seeing the potential in what others ignore requires the eyes of an optimist. If you don't happen to have those handy, put on those rose-colored glasses and come up with all the possibilities. Blindfold. Wait, a blindfold isn't a looking glass? It's the opposite of a looking glass. Or is it? Gilmore threw the blindfold into the looking toolkit because closing our eyes and looking inward is an often overlooked but clarifying reflective process. What's in your memory, in your mind's eye, in your gut? Can you describe what your intuition looks like? As Antoine de Saint-Exupéry wrote in The Little Prince, "It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." Blindfolded, you're looking upon the process of looking itself. It isn't enough to have these looking tools in your innovation bag. You need to know how and when to use them. Binoculars, for instance, let you scan the full field upon which action of interest to you is taking place. They let you see the big picture. From there, you might dive deep with a magnifying glass or deeper still with a microscope. But it's a good idea to step back from your close looking and look through your binoculars again at the situation in the middle of your looking or at the end. That's when you need the perspective that binoculars bring. Did you ever avoid eye contact with a teacher so they wouldn't call on you in class? Of course, I never did. But if you did, you might not have been humiliated with a question for which you were ill-prepared. But at the same time, you probably didn't get an A either. Underachievement, stagnation, lack of innovation may be related to our tendency to actively look away from what's uncomfortable. As individuals and in our businesses, we often avert our eyes from scary, painful things and potential problems. We may take our eyes off the ball and suffer blind spots. We may even hand over the act of looking to others. Curation is the buzzword du jour of the content marketing world. Whether our information's digitally culled or hand-selected for us, we live in a highly curated era, a world of filters. Others decide what we should see and may advise us, too, when to look away. Yet, excessive reliance on curation may just be the abdication of curiosity and observation. When you hand over that skill to others, your own curation capability is likely to shrivel. To look closely at the world in an unencumbered way, with untainted openness, to really see it and savor it, good, bad, and ugly, that's a basic human right. Jim Gilmore delights in that kind of thinking, in that kind of looking, in seeing things differently, and in helping others to do so. Observing the world enriches your life, he says. People may want to revisit how they spend their time with their eyes. What do you choose to look at? Have you looked at your kids today? If you want to see what others miss, if you want to dramatically ramp up your innovation efforts, get a copy of Jim Gilmore's book, Look, and keep your eyes open. This has been Andrew Dietz with Idea Monger.